You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening and for subscribing, and to those who support us on Patreon, my name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here, as always, with David Ramil. The trade deadline is just a few hours away, and we've got a bunch of rumors to talk about, but first, let's get to this news that the Miami Heat will be retiring Chris Bosh's number one jersey. The ceremony will take place during halftime of their March 26th game versus the Orlando Magic. David, we've talked a lot about how the Heat and Bosh have rebuilt their relationship over the last year or so. This is a nice way to put a bow on that.
I mean, it's the only way that makes sense, to be honest with you. It was bound to come to this point. I think, you know, as even when it was in its darkest, I never really thought things were this fractured where they wouldn't result in having at least his number retired. Look, we heard about strife between Shaquille O'Neal and Pat Riley and others in the organization for a long time. I mean, he went out and trashed longtime trainer Ron Culp on the way out, a guy who had been, you know, revered and appreciated around the league, and he trashed the medical team here in Miami on his way out, and somehow Shaq's jersey is still hanging from the rafter. So if they can accept that, I think whatever happened between Pat Riley in the front office and Chris Bosh was bound to be swept under the rug. I'm glad to see that Bosh has been hanging around the arena lately, that he's repaired his relationship, and that he'll get what he deserves. And I mean, maybe I'm in the minority here, but I wouldn't mind seeing LeBron 6 hang from the rafters at some point in the future, too.
If you're in the minority, then there's a problem with the majority of Heat fans, because absolutely. I mean, it's only the only reason Chris Bosh's jersey is retiring right now is because, unfortunately, he's not playing anymore. Like, we shouldn't be doing this right now, but unfortunately we are. Like, he should still be on the Heat. He should still be in the league playing basketball, but that's just not the case. And I have no doubt that eventually LeBron James's number 6 will be up there.
Oh, I have doubts.
Obviously, Dwayne Wade's number 3. Do you really?
I have doubts that the relationship between LeBron, Rich Paul, and whomever will be in charge at this point, because I'm not sure that Riley will still be in the league or in the front office at that point. But I can see that it would be a difficult thing for him. I mean, at this point, look, he's played for the Lakers. He's played for the Cavs. He'll have his jersey retired at least two places. I mean, maybe Miami feels, look, it was only a four-year stint here, maybe not enough. At least Bosh re-signed with Miami in 2014 and was playing for, you know, the better part of the next two seasons. I'm not so sure that the relationship with LeBron is ever going to get close to repaired. Like, I know Riley's made comments publicly that he'd like to have that fixed, but I'm still not sure. As far as public sentiment, that'll come around. And there are still people that resent LeBron James for the way that the organization was misled in 2014, if we accept that as a fact.
I mean, Team Petty is definitely out there, but there's one reason why that number is absolutely going into the rafters and being retired, and it's because there's only going to be probably three teams ever in NBA history that get to claim that maybe the greatest player of all time played for their franchise. Yeah. And the Cavs are obviously retiring it. I don't know that the Lakers are going to retire it, like, just because LeBron played there. He obviously hasn't done anything there yet. But the Heat, I mean, he won two titles in 4 years. I mean, it's happening. That was such
two-time
a
time MVP. It was fantastic.
Just for the sake of saying, you know, that LeBron James guy, don't let all the stories about Cleveland, like, blind you to the fact that he won most of his titles right here in Miami. It's going to be kind of, I think it'll go up in the rafters. It'll be sort of an FU to the rest of the league. Like, don't forget that he got most of his wins here. We put him on the map, really, and it's going to be up there. There's no way that it's not. It would be weird if it weren't. For the rest of the league. And so I think it'll definitely happen, and I do think that the relationship will be fine. I mean, as far as how it goes from LeBron James' side, he's happy to talk about his relationship with the Heat. He doesn't tend to be a guy or seem to be a guy that holds grudges. I mean, he went back and played for Dan Gilbert. He made up with Kyrie Irving. He doesn't strike me as a guy that has grudges.
Not when he holds the upper hand. That's the whole thing. He always holds up.
Then he does. Yeah. And he 100% does right now. He's the one that left Miami. So,
yeah, but from Miami's perspective, that would be retired. They don't need to retire that jersey. I mean, they could always, look. I mean, that would be ultimately very, very petty on this organization. But anyway, I mean, I don't even know how this is my fault. We're talking about LeBron when we should be talking about Chris. Now, I will say, though, that isn't the timing of the Bosch announcement as far as the retirement is concerned, isn't that a little circumspect considering the current place of the franchise and how it's viewed by its fans? Because there's a lot of animosity right now towards Riley, towards the front office for building this roster and loading it with these bloated contracts and players that haven't lived up to those deals. And I wonder if this is just a little bit of goodwill to say, hey, remember the good times, baby? We had some pretty good years back then.
It's basically saying, hey, everything doesn't totally suck. That's all this is. I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up because it's, I mean, Chris Bosch has been at the games recently, so this may have been in the works for a while, you know? Like, they may have been talking about it, hey, like, Chris, when are you going to, like, not be in Australia, like, bouncing around with kangaroos or whatever? Like, are you going to, like, when are you going to be in Miami? When's a good time for this? But I'm glad you brought that up because I like it, you know? It might be a little bit of a heavy-handed PR stunt, but you know what? This season needs some feel-good vibes. It's kind of towards the end of the season, late March, right, where I think a lot of people, it might just be starting to hit them that Dwayne Wade's in his final season, so that's going to be kind of sad. Yeah, I just think it'll be good vibes. It'll just be good vibes, man. And I'm okay with that. I'm here for good vibes. I'm good with that.
How much worse would this season feel if Dwayne Wade hadn't re-signed at this point?
Oh, my gosh.
Because we talked about this when we were previewing the season. We were saying, you know what, that we didn't care for much. We didn't expect, you know, we thought we were going to make the playoffs, whatever. But at the very least, we wanted to see Wade have some classic moments throughout the season and to build a lot of goodwill. And he's done that part. I mean, he's lived up to that, his side of the equation. But, I mean, if you remove that and you just look at the losses and the way the team has struggled, I mean, it would be hard to adjust as a Heat fan.
Yeah, for our Friday show when we do the Guess the Record thing, I look forward to the jersey swap guessing more so than the results of next week's games. Like, I could care less at this point about if the Heat win or lose. Yeah, I just like, but yeah, if Dwayne Wade, yeah, also because I'm winning the season. But no, I the Dwayne Wade swap is the most fun part of the game so far, especially when the Heat aren't playing well. We talked about Dwayne Wade, we talked about LeBron, we talked about Chris Bosh. Here's the next step to all of this, David. Are you ready?
Yes.
So, obviously, LeBron's still playing. Wade has one more year. Wade's jersey will be retired, like, the day after he retires, whatever. They might as well just do it during his last game. It's fine. But eventually, at some point, my proposition is that outside of American Airlines Arena, instead of there being three statues, because there's no statues out there, and it will be eventually Dwayne Wade's statue, but I do think that there should be a big three statue. There should be something with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James all in one artistic piece that just symbolizes those 4 years. That's my proposition.
How about instead of a statue, like a mural?
Mural's fine. Okay. Sure.
All right.
Murals are very hot in Miami right now.
Yes, they are. You get a Wynwood artist to come over there.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love it. Perfect. All right. We'll get to some of the latest trade rumors after this break. All right, David, we're just a few more hours away from the NBA trade deadline. Stuff's happening all the time. This is crazy, but not a whole lot of stuff is happening in Miami or for the Heat. That said, I kind of put together a little bit of a watch list that I want to go through with you and for our listeners, just sort of things that just to keep an eye on and certain teams that may make sense as trade partners as we get closer to Thursday's deadline. So the first one I want to start with is sort of the fallout of this Anthony Davis situation. We're recording this late-ish Monday night, so sorry if Anthony Davis has been traded by the time you're hearing this.
Yeah, there's a notification, as we're saying this, from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, stating that Lakers president Magic Johnson has New Orleans engaged in trade talks, or whatever that means. We already assumed that was the case, but it looks like things are progressing anyway.
They are literally on the phone, and Adrian Wojnarowski is sitting in Magic Johnson's office tweeting this right now.
Yeah,
they are engaged. Yeah, Adrian's like, all right, patch me in.
Yeah.
So the reason I want to talk about the fallout for this is because the Heat have dealt with the Pelicans quite a bit over the last few years. Obviously, there's a relationship between Pat Riley and Magic Johnson. There could be some extra salaries kind of moving around here. We know that the Lakers, for salary matching purposes, might have to get off of Rajon Rondo or Lance Stephenson or, hey, Michael Beasley. The Pelicans are trying to send Solomon Hill back to the Lakers, but I don't think that the Lakers necessarily want to take Solomon Hill back. The reports right now are that they would just waive and stretch him almost immediately, adding between $4 and $5 million onto their cap sheet for the next 2 years, which we know is very crucial for them, the cap space is. So they probably want to avoid that if they can.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying watch out for the Heat to get involved as a third-party team to help facilitate something. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's happening. I have no intel, obviously. I'm just saying it makes sense if the Heat were to maybe take an expiring contract from the Lakers. Maybe they take Michael Beasley back for, you know what, why not? What the hell? Let's try that again. That's not happening. But Solomon Hill, maybe, I don't know how, I don't know what it would look or what Miami would take back or what their incentive to do so would be. I'm just saying it could be out there. That's all.
Well, I mean, it's not, you're not exactly going out on a limb there, but you are pointing out, and rather astutely, I must say, that there is this prior relationship there. And that is the main factor when it comes to these kinds of deals taking place, is there is a comfort level. You have a certain deadline. Talks are part of the system, and they are engaged in talks all year long. But as you're nearing this deadline, it's a familiarity with each other that really greases these wheels most. And I think that's probably why it would work out. And for a team like Miami, as long as they can recoup something out of the deal, if it means taking back some bad money that in the short term, but they get something else in addition, you know, maybe a player of value, a young player of value, or a future pick of some kind. It makes sense. So I mean, it's not that much of a stretch, and it does seem like they would be involved with either one of the Lakers or the Pelicans or both.
And we always kind of talk about Pat Riley in glowing terms. Oh, he always pounces on the star when he's available, Shaquille O'Neal, blah blah blah. Well, yeah, I don't anymore. That's for sure. But really, this is kind of Pat Riley's MO. This is what he's done over the last few years. Not pouncing on the big star, but just sort of on the fallout and, you know, trying to just get scraps on the periphery of things, of big things that are happening. We saw it last year. Cleveland, they tried to reshape their entire roster halfway through the season at the trade deadline, and they did. And Pat Riley was able to get Dwayne Wade out of it, right? And so that was sort of pouncing on that situation. Luke Babbitt, same thing. Not as big of a name as Dwayne Wade, but they were able to get Luke Babbitt at last year's trade line too. The Goran Dragic trade, everybody looks as this big trade. That was the fallout of what was happening in Phoenix. And it just so happened that Pat Riley was able to get the Suns to part with Goran Dragic. Of course, it took two first-round picks to do so.
But no one saw that
Phoenix
coming.
Was basically blowing it up.
Yeah, no one saw that coming either, right? There was nothing, no buzz on the horizon, if I recall that correctly. It was, you know, we were focused on Chris Bosh coming back. We were focused on Dwayne Wade. We had Lou Holdang. We had a good team there. Hassan Whiteside was just starting to come into his own. Whew, that seems like an eternity ago. And then, yeah.
Mario Chalmers was the point guard.
Yeah, I mean, I remember recording a podcast. Oh, we've been at this for too long, Wes. I remember talking about how we thought that the Goran Dragic acquisition was the move, that we thought this was legitimizing that team's chances at a title. An amazing bounce back after having lost LeBron the summer before. And then we find out almost within 48 hours that Chris Bosh will probably miss the rest of the season.
That sucked.
Tough times.
Good thing Chris Bosh is getting his jersey retired. But yeah, that's kind of in the spirit of what we're looking at here. Obviously, the Heat aren't landing Anthony Davis, but things happen. Like you mentioned that Dragic trade, kind of similar to how the Kristaps Porzingis trade materialized like within 38 minutes on Friday. It just sort of happened. It was very similar. Like all of a sudden, you're just hearing these, Dragic has been taken off the team bus. Blah, 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 blah. Like you're just getting all these tweets, and then Dragic was going to Miami. So we'll see. I'm not saying something as big as Dragic is going to happen because that was a big acquisition, but something maybe somewhere between Luke Babbitt and Goran Dragic might be something safe to say could happen.
Do you assume, if you had to lay odds on whether or not the Heat keep Goran past this week, what would you say those are? 50-50 at this point?
That they keep Goran past the this deadline. Week? I would say 80-20 they keep him.
Okay. I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people assume that he's likely to be traded, but I don't know that there's a realistic taker for his salary.
That's the thing. It's the player option I think will freak teams out that want cap space this summer.
Right.
Just teams that are taking on contracts don't, like, they either want to know if they have to plan for that or not, you know. And for Dragic, there's a little bit maybe more of a safety net there because you figure you could talk him into taking the long-term contract just given that he's on the other side of 30 right now and he's coming off of an injury. But even that, it's too uncertain. That said, I do think that there are might be teams that make sense, especially if Mike Conley is dealt, or even if he's not traded. Maybe some teams like, okay, I don't want to take Mike Conley on at his age for $30 million a year, and given what it would take to give up, maybe we don't want to go all the way in for Mike Conley, but we're still interested in point guard, and we'll take Goran Dragic. Like, the Indiana Pacers have made a lot of sense for Mike Conley. Well, instead of taking Conley, would they rather take on a Goran Dragic contract? Because it's much easier to build a trade that way. Dragic is making $18 million this year. Conley's making $30 million. You know, it's really easy to get to that $18 million if you're the Indiana Pacers. Maybe you want to just upgrade that point guard position. Dragic next to Oladipo works theoretically. I just don't know if it's enough of the upgrade that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they'd be punting on a little bit of cap space this year or this next summer. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, though. I mean, the Pacers, who else has been rumored to be into Mike Conley? The Utah Jazz, the Detroit Pistons. I don't know that Dragic moves the needle enough for Detroit. I don't know that Dragic is enough of an upgrade over Ricky Rubio for Utah.
Right. What about Lowry? I mean, Lowry's a better point guard than Goran Dragic is, but maybe they move some salary around. I don't know. I mean, how much is Lowry making this year? I know he's got 1 year left on his deal.
Are you talking about Dragic for Lowry swap? I'm confused.
Yes.
Oh. Interesting. I don't see Toronto doing it. I don't see Toronto doing it unless they're able to get another asset from Miami, and I don't know that the Heat. I don't know that that's enough of an upgrade for the Heat. Like, I think Lowry is good on the Toronto Raptors because the Toronto Raptors know how to use Lowry.
Okay.
But if you just plug Lowry onto the Heat, I don't know that that makes them better necessarily. You know?
Yeah. No, I get you.
Okay. Other things that I want to look at: some Wayne Ellington situations. Maybe how the Heat can get off of one of these long-term contracts. Rodney Magruder still could be available, still out of the rotation. Let's talk about those things after this break. All right, David, let's wrap up this watch list. We got to talk about Wayne Ellington. And we've talked about Wayne Ellington a lot and how he's obviously a trade candidate. But as we start coming closer to the deadline, we start seeing these other guys popping up in trade rumors, and that's an important thing for Heat fans to remember is that, yeah, Wayne Ellington is valuable, but it's not just Wayne Ellington in a vacuum during the trade deadline. It's Wayne Ellington versus option X, option Y, you know, all around the league. And I think the competing options, if you're the Heat and you're trying to get off of Wayne Ellington, really to duck the luxury tax, maybe loosen up the backcourt rotation a little bit and relieve some of the stress in that locker room. The competing players are Terrence Ross from the Magic, Jeremy Lin for the Atlanta Hawks, and then Wesley Matthews, who just got traded to the Knicks, rumored to be on the buyout market. There could be a lot of teams that might want to trade for Wayne Ellington, maybe like the Houston Rockets, the Los Angeles Spurs, and say, you know what, instead of giving up even a second-round pick for Wayne Ellington, maybe we can just get Wes Matthews on the buyout market. I think that's going to that could really impact what teams do here, and I don't know when the Knicks plan on buying out Wes Matthews, but if it's at the trade deadline or after the trade deadline, that could hurt the Heat as far as, you know, possible buyers for Wayne Ellington.
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, the biggest plus of acquiring a player like Ellington at this point is that he can boost your title chances. But if you have to give up either a pick or any kind of player in order to acquire Ellington, you could basically just waive a player at the end of your bench and make room for Wes Matthews and pick him up in the buyout market, and that saves you a substantial amount of money. You don't have to lose anything of extreme value in order to do so. I think it makes more sense, honestly, to wait for a buyout. I mean, I think Miami was in the same position during the Big Three era, where you would look at whether or not they would make a move at the trade deadline, and you realize, no, that wasn't likely because they had the roster, they had fringe players that maybe weren't contributing at a high level, but you knew that if they were going to acquire any player, it would probably be after the buyout market had kind of filled out a little bit, and those were the players that were going to come in at the end of a season and kind of make a contribution that way, and I think that's, well, Miami's not in that place right now where they're obviously not a title contender, so it's the shoes on the other foot there, and I think... I'm thinking of Wes Matthews as how he compares to Ellington. I guess Ellington's still a better shooter. I guess Matthews has value as a better defender than Ellington does. So they kind of but he's significantly.
They even out, and you've got to pay him about $5 million less, and you don't have to part with a draft pick.
Yeah.
Like that's nice. The one thing that Ellington does have in a trade, you're probably getting rid of one of your roster players. So you don't have to necessarily waive a player to free up a roster spot. So that might be a plus. Unless, like, Wes Matthews makes sense for the Warriors. They have an open roster spot after the Patrick McCaw situation. So if you're a team that has a sense that you're not getting Wesley Matthews, then that's when Ellington comes into play. Terrence Ross, probably going to be more expensive than Wayne Ellington. Ellington, at this point, I think his value is probably a second-round pick. Terrence Ross, I think the Magic are probably looking for, what, a really good second-round pick or maybe even a late first-round pick. Jeremy Lin, not the same player as Ellington. They're both, you know, ball, like Lin's more of a ball handler, Ellington's more of a wing, but also, you know, two guys that could fill a position in that backcourt. So I still think Ellington has value. It's just maybe one of these other dominoes needs to fall first. The other one that we need to talk about is Roddy Magruder. And of all the guys, I think he's the most likely to get traded only because his salary is so low and he's so easy to move. And I think teams will value having his early bird rights. Magruder for a pick is still very much in play for me. And again, I think that's the most likely thing that happens, if anything happens for the Heat before the deadline.
I would have said that I agreed with you 100% maybe 2 months ago, but now, I mean, does Roddy really even fit a need for anybody? Like, that he's capable of doing the things that he did earlier in the season is one thing. That, I mean, that was more than we expected of his skill set to take another leap in his development. But he's fallen off so completely, and I know he's just not getting the playing time, but even when he does get those minutes, he's shooting so badly, and I wonder whether or not, I mean, you're not giving up much. Maybe a protected second-round pick at this point, to be honest with you. It's just to unload him from the roster because you don't expect him to re-sign in Miami. I just don't know. I mean, honestly,
if it's a second-round pick in the back half of the second round, I'd say just keep him. Just keep him. Like, I'd rather just keep him, because what are you going to do with that late second-round pick this year? You know, at this point, you might as well just try to take your chances and on re-signing him as a restricted free agent. So, but they have absolutely killed Roddy Magruder's trade value by benching him. And it's not like Roddy Magruder is helping his own trade value. As you said, he hasn't been playing really well. But by benching him, everybody's kind of like scratching their head, like, what's up with that? You know, it's like, you're not very good, and he can't crack the rotation for you. And we've been saying it on this pod, or at least I have. You kind of pushed up against it early in the season. But trade Roddy Magruder right now. Like, when he was playing well, that's when they should have traded him, and I do think the Heat are going to regret not doing that, because they could have traded him early in the year. And like, I still think that they could have gotten a late first for him from a contending team.
At that point, yeah.
But at that point, and I think they're really going to regret it. Like, they kind of blew it. They kind of blew it.
I think they're following the same pattern we've seen play out over the last few years, though, much to the chagrin of our listeners, is that, you know, I think they were hoping that they might be able to swing some deal now or during the offseason that would allow them to re-sign Roddy, because they believe in what he can do. They believe in his growth. And I think they felt like he has another level to achieve and they'd want it to be in Miami. But they've been so bad in assessing players' development. Yeah. And over the last, it's like they get you to a certain point where you exceed whatever low expectations they might have had of you. But then they see that you have another level to achieve. And when you don't achieve it, you wind up with egg on your face like we're currently feeling right now.
A couple other things that I think we should watch out for: Sacramento, Cleveland, and Atlanta as possible trade partners in the situation that a salary dump occurs. Mm-hmm. If the Heat are able to accrue some picks by trading Ellington and Magruder, using those picks as sweetener to get off of one of these long-term contracts, which I think should be Miami's goal at this deadline. I don't know if it's going to happen, but if you're the Heat and you want to just try to set low expectations, easily attainable goals, or just, I don't know, realistically attainable goals, trade Ellington and or Magruder for picks. Use those picks to get off of one of Waiters, Olynyk, or James Johnson. If you can get off of one of those long-term contracts, that would be a huge win for the Heat by the deadline. And again, the teams that could realistically take one of those guys that have short-term contracts or expiring contracts that they could send back to Miami: Sacramento, Cleveland, Atlanta. Those are kind of the teams I'm looking at as far as possible salary dumps.
Yeah, these all make sense. I still see that Miami's just going to be standing pat, and I don't know how the Heat fan base will respond to that, to be honest with you. I just don't see anything shaping up right now. I know we're hearing scuttle that they're interested in certain players, but they've been so hard to peg, you know. They could surprise us. Like, at this point, it's either going to be completely dead, or I could see a blockbuster trade being, you know, taking place.
It'll be a failure if it's dead. If they don't make a single move, it'll be a failure. And look, we were kind of this way at the trade deadline last year, and all of a sudden Dwayne Wade happened, right? Wow. And Luke Babbitt. Yeah. No disrespect to Luke Babbitt.
None.
But something I think will happen. I just think Pat Riley, it's in his nature. He's a trade deadline guy. You know, like, that's one thing that is really different between the Heat and the Spurs. The Spurs almost never make a trade at the deadline. And these are two of arguably the most well-ran organizations in the NBA. That's why I make that point, like, over the last decade or two. But Pat Riley tends to make deals at the trade deadline. He likes to just kind of tweak it a little bit. So I do think something will happen. I just don't know what that thing is. And we'll see. So anyway, that's all we have for today. Thanks for listening. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat. Connect with us on Twitter at Locked On Heat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Yeah!